black woman. I come from a black woman who came from a black woman who came from a black woman, and I'm gonna give birth to a black woman.
I'm rooting for everybody black. I am.
I wanna get the language so right that everybody here will cry out. Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
I'm blackity, black, black, black.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the BMW podcast. You're listening to Four Black Millennial Women. I'm Kai.
I'm Nika.
I'm Slim.
And I'm Tia.
And we're partnering with Crossover Media, a new podcasting network amplifying black and brown voices. So go check them out for some new dope content. And we're going to get right into it this week. Our BMW riff off word is grown. So let's start with you, Slim.
Me and you, girl. That's why I write you love letters saying, I like the way you look at me. I like the time we spend, baby. I like what we have grown to be. I like it, girl. Don't you know I like it?
I can teach you lessons, girl, if that's what you want. Girl, you gonna get tested because you think that you grown. I'ma keep you guessing, baby, stay on your toes. This ain't your profession and it's starting to show. I don't think you're ready.
I'm a grown woman. I can do whatever I want. Hey, hey, hey. I'm a grown woman. I can do whatever I want. They love the way I walk. Cause I walk with a vengeance. And they listen to me when I talk. Cause I ain't pretending.
Watch out, world. I'm grown now.
I'm grown. I'm grown.
It's about to go down. My heart beating so loud. Mama, look, I'm grown now. I'm grown.
I'm grown.
That's like the second week in a row that we ended with a Chloe and Halle song.
Probably because they dope.
But every time
I hear that song, I think of that song that'd be like, I love cheap thrills. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
I think it's a Sia song. Every time I hear that, I think that. I think cheap thrills. I think it's a Sia song.
I never thought about that until right now when you just said it.
I always think about that.
It sounds so similar, but it don't.
It's just that part.
That's my show. I actually like the show and the song.
Like, Grownish was, I think, a decent spinoff. Yeah, it has its problems with colorism and all of that, you know, the critiques be critiquing. But yeah. You know, I think ultimately, and I do think it's a missed opportunity because I think originally, was it supposed to be HBCU?
They were, I don't know if it was supposed to be, but they were, like, when they were marketing it, like a
predominantly black
world.
Yeah, like a different world. So I thought it would be more of like a black college I think that, you know, it didn't find its footing as Blackish did, because, you know, Blackish was able to touch on those subjects, those important topics in that 25 minute time frame or whatever. And I think they did a pretty good job of like kind of getting through the issues. I think Grownish kind of taps into that a little bit, but I don't think they do enough to, I don't think they don't have the same ability to sort of delve deep into a topic to get the lesson. I think they are very just surface level with everything they talk about, and it might be just the nature of a 25 minute show, but I think that there's so much potential with that show because the cast is great.
Yeah, I like how diverse the cast is, but I do wish it was like a HBCU and type of experience, but I still like it.
Or if you're going to do the PWI experience, you know, and as a black person who went to a predominantly white institution, I can say that there is a very specific experience, and that once you find people who are like you or your group of friends who are usually very diverse, because it's not that many black people, you probably know all the black people. So you tend to find friends who, yeah, you're friends with the black people, but all of your closest friends are also ethnically diverse. And so I think that there's a lot of missed opportunity there if you're not going to go the HBCU route or the predominantly Black institution route, that you really delve into the issues of students who are minority students in predominantly white spaces. And I think that they kind of touch on the racism a little bit, especially with Chloe and Hallie, which I also find slightly problematic because they are the darkest of the Black people. And I feel like any type of racial undertones or, you know, racial tensions or whatever is kind of projected onto them, probably for because sure. they're the darker ones. So I think that's a little problematic. And but I don't think you really see it, like what that experience is like being, you know, Black in a predominantly white institution in your college years.
Yeah, especially since Chloe and Hallie are not even dark. Like,
yeah, no, they're not the darkest at all. People on but this they're show. The darkest. So you would think that they were dark skinned based on how they be treating them.
Yeah. Until they brought in like Orion Destiny, which they did last semester, like it's a real school, but last season. But we should do an episode about that. We'll talk more about this later. We haven't covered like TV topics yet besides Insecure, so we should do that.
We should talk about Lovecraft Country, and I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't watched it either.
But everybody is talking about Lovecraft Country, and so I think that we should all watch it and talk about it next week.
Yeah, I got time for that.
It's only a few episodes, I think.
Y'all tell me how it went. What is it? I'm like, I got a paper due, a memo due for school.
Y'all, I started fasting. I start fasting, and that's all.
That's all you want to say? Like, why interject that? What does that have to do with anything?
Now you got to tell us what you're doing. How are you fasting?
First of all, it was an objection. We just start talking at the same time because we're sisters and we just do that.
No, we were having a conversation about Lovecraft Country.
But then
you're not talking about fasting.
You wasn't gonna watch it, and I said I can't commit. And you were gonna watch it. We solved it. We was done talking about it.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm fasting from 6 p.m. to 12.
And you mean the time you shouldn't be eating anyway?
Well, yeah.
I think she meant 12 the next day, though. So, I mean, that is a little bit. Like,
so, you're doing intermittent fasting.
Yeah, and keto. And it's going great. I had slight headaches where I thought I was going to die.
It's because it's not great for your body.
That's not true. That's debatable.
It's not. Science shows that it has no real effect. Not intermittent fasting.
People are living their best life losing hello weight on keto.
That's because you're limiting your calories. If you can only eat 12 foods and you can only eat in 6 hours, you're gonna eat less than you normally would.
You can eat. Anyway, you guys, fasted, and I'm praying and I'm working on my health and the process and my mental, you know, to help me deal with people like Nika.
So. The best people. She needs help dealing with the best people.
Just in case y'all didn't know, Nika and Slim have been acting like this since they were 7. Literally since they were 7.
Literally. It's not an exaggeration.
Like, shut up.
She's been working my nerves for 21 years, and I cannot escape her because we're family. We're stuck.
Fortunately.
Y'all are so funny. Well, that kind of goes along well into this week's topic because we are getting older. Like literally, we're all almost 30. And fun fact, when we were starting the podcast and we were throwing around ideas of like what we wanted to name the podcast, we almost named it the Damn Near 30 Podcast because, I mean, that's where we're at in our lives. But there was already a podcast under that name, so we didn't want to. Still, shout out to them. Shout out to the Damn Near 30 Podcast. That's not us. But We do like that name because we are, that's where we're at in our lives right now. I feel like you, there's a shift that literally goes on in your life when you start really contemplating your life and looking around and evaluating, you know, your goals and everything and reevaluating. So I think that today we just want to talk about being almost 30, and we have some 30 things that you must do before you turn 30. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to see which ones we've done, which one we haven't done, which ones are not on our list, and maybe it's some stuff missing that we need to add. So we're just going to get right into that. So the first thing is try to know more about your family history. Yes. So this one is like, you always busy with yourself and thinking about yourself, but what about knowing more about your family, like asking your parents, your grandparents, your aunties, your uncles, you know, things that you might just learn something that you never knew, or places where your grandparents grew up or lived, or just interesting stuff about where you come from and the people who you come from. So is this of interest to y'all? Is this something y'all try to do?
Yeah, definitely. I found myself like more interested. I think we've always been to like family reunions and things like that, and there's typically a lot of family history that's been told and discussed in programs and stuff at those things, but I never really appreciated it until recently. And my grandmother was over here a few months back, like pre-COVID, and I had never really asked her about her life. There are certain things that I knew, that she had been a teacher since she was in her 20s and, you know, those sorts of things. And I knew a little bit about her, like her life, you know, with my mom and my mom's siblings and stuff like that. But I never really knew about my grandmother. So we were watching The Green Book. And after we got done watching The Green Book, we just started talking about her life because she was born in the 40s. And so we were kind of just talking about her life, and the woman is so interesting. I found out my grandma was a player, bro. Like, she was straight. She was pulling the hoes. And I'm like, grandma, like, I can't even find one man to marry me, and you was getting offers left and right. Like, I found so much about my grandmother, my great-grandfather, who's still living in Mississippi, and my great-grandmother. Like, I just learned so much family history talking to her. And I don't think I ever truly appreciated how important it is to know where you come from until I got to like 27, 28. And now I'm about to be 29, you know, and I truly have an appreciation for that. Whereas before, it just wasn't something that I even cared to think about.
Yeah, same. I think I started to appreciate it around 25, 26. And that was because I was in Minnesota. It's a lot of Africans there, and they are so prideful from where they come from. And I was like, oh my God. One African man was like, do you know where you're from? I'm like, I'm from Indiana. He's like, no, where are you from? I'm like, as in Africa? I don't know. And he was like, you should know where you're from. You're from the motherland. You need to research. And I'm like, you're right. I never did though, but I just started with my family here. And like Nika said, I listen to grandma's stories. Her stories are, it teaches you a moral after every story. I'm like, grandma, what's the juice? Because you got like 4 offers to get married. I'd rather get a phone call. Like, let me know.
Yeah, what she tell you? Drop a gem.
She said, if you ain't prime time, he gets no time. So basically, if he ain't seeing you during the daytime and taking you out and y'all going, spending time together, then he don't deserve no attention. So that's key late.
My gem was, well, you know, maybe you need to date white men. That was my gem. I was like, oh, you didn't gave up for me on the black men.
She also said, I just think that women need to be more aggressive. Like, just go after the man you want. Just try.
My grandmother was seriously swiping on my Hinge for me. Like, she was like, you know, maybe you need to try. First she started with, I just don't get it. I don't get why you're single. I don't understand it. You know, maybe you just need to try one of them date naps. Hear me out. Like, grandma, I done been through them damn days now.
You want to
come here? I know it seems a little strange, but hear me out. I said, Grandma, you want to swipe for me? She was like, yeah. So she was over there. He cute. What kind of job he got? And I was like, yes, five me a day, Grandma.
Yeah. And also, yeah, as I get older, I ask more questions like, who's this? And how are we related? And who's that? Because I've been calling people my uncle and I don't even know their real name. What is this person's name? Like, you don't know that this is your Uncle Kenny from the South Side. I don't know. You never gave us this history growing up. So yeah, that's I tend to ask more questions as I grow up because I'm curious about who's around me.
Yeah, I think I've always been interested in it. Like, always been interested in where our family and where we come from. I always try to like know the history, ask the questions. When I get around Grandma, oh, I just be asking questions about her life. And once the last time I was over there and I was asking her questions and she was like, are you recording me? Like she was looking around like, why do I feel like I'm being interrogated? I'm like, I'm just asking you questions about your life.
You probably were. Like,
I wasn't recording actually. Like that is my MO. I do be recording when older people are talking so that you can have the memories. But I wasn't recording this day. I was just literally asking her. She was just like, why do I feel like I'm being interrogated? I'm just like, I'm asking about your life. But I actually did a group project a school project while I was in college on my grandmother. And it was saying that we should interview one of the older ladies in our family. And I interviewed my grandmother about her life and I typed a paper about it. So I think I love that because that's something I always have. And I did learn a lot of new stuff. But then recently, like Nika was saying, our grandfather is 96 and he's still living. So when we went to go visit him earlier this year, we gave him a DNA test, like an ancestry DNA test. And his results came back and it was just interesting seeing like the different, like the countries where his DNA originated.
I didn't know they came back.
Oh yeah, girl. I'll send them to you. But for the most part, he was like from like Nigeria and Cameroon. And he had like little Scottish in there or, you know, some other stuff. Yeah, I had to find the exact, you know, whatever, but I'll send it to you. And then I was like, it made me want to do it. So I just took an ancestry test too. And I haven't got my results back yet, but I'm like,
well,
really
well, we are.
Because I'm not doing that. The government not getting my DNA. So I'm not doing one of them tests. You know, I'ma just chalk it up to West Africa and some white sprinkled in because, you know, slave rape. And we gonna call it a day. Because I'm not giving them my DNA.
Yeah, I thought real long and hard about it, but I did try. I read all the privacy settings and everything about like how it works. So I tried to pick one that was like really, really airtight with the privacy settings and stuff like that. But yeah, we'll see. I'll let you guys know. But Tia, did you have anything to say about that?
Not making up stuff.
No, not at all.
I am.
Is it because you're not interested, Tia?
Yeah. Next question.
Like, I don't care where I came from. Next. The next thing on the list is a solo trip. Have any of y'all done a solo trip?
Yes. So, and actually, it's interesting because as I get older, I get more uncomfortable with the solo trip. And I don't know if it's because now at this point in my life, my primary trips are to leave the country is what I want to do. And so I'm not quite comfortable leaving the country by myself yet, especially to go to a country where I don't speak the language. But after my first year of law school, I did an internship in LA for 3 months and I had family there, but I didn't end up linking up with any of them. But it was such a like kind of a quick, I got the internship And then I'm like, okay, I have to figure out housing. So I, you know, did what every person who likes to be murdered does. And I went on Craigslist and I found somebody subletting a room in a house, you know, because I guess they do that a lot in California. Because it's so expensive. So she was subletting a room in her house for $500. So I get there, like I go by myself. I'd never been anywhere by myself. Even though I went to law school in DC, I went with my fiance at the time. So it's not, I didn't even do that by myself, you know? So I go to LA, I get there, I get off the plane, I get in an Uber, I go to this address and I get there. And the owner of the house has no idea that I'm coming. So now it's like 10 o'clock at night and I don't know LA. I don't know anything. I'm panicking low key because I'm like, what am I going to do? And she's just like, I'm not coming. Like, I knew you were coming, but I was not informed that you were going to be coming this soon. I haven't gotten the chance to run the background check on you and da 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 da. And I was like, well, I'm working at the Children's Law Center. So they clearly ran a background check. So I like gave her my like internship papers and I told her I'd get her the background check that they ran the next day. And I was just like, if you don't let me stay here tonight, I don't know where I'm gonna go. Because I was on, when I say limited funds, I had maybe $1,500 that I had gotten from like just a little money that I had saved. My grandmother gave me like maybe $1,000 or something like that. My parents gave me like maybe $500. So I had like about $1,500 that was supposed to last me for 12 weeks with me having to pay $1,000 of those dollars toward rent. And it was the best trip I have ever taken. Like, I've been to the Bahamas, I've been to Mexico, I've been to Utah. I've been to, you know, California, not on this trip. You know, I've been to a few places. And I will say, like, that going by myself there and just like jumping out and taking that leap and just doing something that is so out of character for me was kind of the best experience. I made lifelong friends that I still talk to this day. You know, I got to, you know, experience a city I hadn't been to as a, you know, an adult. I had been there as a kid, but I got to experience that city. Everything just fell in line. Like, God really worked to make sure I had a ride to work because I had, you know, I had a girl that was lit. She lived a little bit further from me at the time. So she, you know, the first day I was like, can you see if I am out of your way? Because my commute on their public transit was taking me 2 hours. And I was like, can you see if taking me home is out of your way? And it wasn't. So she ended up picking me up and taking me home from work. And we became like the best of friends. So that's like the one time that I really went solo for 12 weeks by myself in a different city. And I think that, you know, moving forward, I want to be able to do that, especially like international travel, because I think there's a lot to be said about going by yourself and just truly just relaxing and getting away from everything. But you know, I ain't trying to be kidnapped and sold into sex slavery, so I'm a little leery.
Almost again.
Again. Yeah, if you heard last week, it would have been the second kidnapping attempt.
But I never went anywhere alone, like that I would call a vacation or a trip. I want to do that. That just sounds so, it's kind of scary. It kind of sounds a little scary because I've never done it before. And like just going out, and I went to bars by myself, but like a trip by myself, I don't know. But I like it. I like the sound of it.
Yeah, I never went on a trip by myself either.
I ain't never done it, but if mugs keep playing around, I sure will. I'll be out the country. I'll be in India, Bali, wherever I be going. It's going to be by myself, and I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Period.
I mean, would you rather die in Bali or, you know, die in Chicago? I'm it's going to happen if it's going to happen.
Well, I was going to
die every day. Just die every day, B.
Chicago. I'm dying in Chicago.
Right. It's dangerous in Chicago. I'm here all the time. Nah, but for real, my friend, she does solo trips all the time, and when I tell you she be living her best life, she be living her best life. She's had some of the most fun on her solo trips, and she has the best pictures. I'm like, who be taking these pictures? know what I want to know, but I guess she just asked somebody to take them. But she usually, like, she might hire, like, a travel guide or something while she's there, so she's not, like, in areas that she don't know by herself, you know? So she might have somebody who speaks English and travel guide and translator, and that's their job to kind of take her around. But she has a good time, so I think I'm going to get on the train and start doing that before I'm 30.
Yeah, I think it's necessary. I want to do it, and we used to all vlog it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go because I've been to Nassau before, the Bahamas, and I think that, to me, that's a good starting point for me because I feel like it's, you know, not crazy far from home. You know, they speak English. You know, I think that's for me, and I'm familiar with even the city itself because when I went there, I went into Nassau. It just wasn't on the resort. So I think that will probably be my first, you know, out of the country solo travel.
The next one is live in a city, a different city than the one you grew up in. And Nika, you kind of already touched on this.
I didn't live in so many cities. I was born and raised in a small town in Illinois. I went to college in Milwaukee. I went to law school in DC. I stayed in LA and lived in LA for a few months. Now I live in the Dallas area. To me, I encourage people to live in other cities because when you are in one city, and it doesn't matter if that city is big or small, your world is tiny. And it's like you truly don't. And it's the same way with leaving the country. Your world is so small when you never leave. And it's like it's an entirely different world. And you gain entirely different perspectives. And you learn so much about yourself by putting yourself in different environments and different paces. Because the pace in D.C. is entirely different than the pace in Illinois or the pace in Texas or the pace in L.A. And I think that, you know, you have to find what fits your personality. And a lot of times it's not that small town that you grew up in, or it's not even the city that you grew up in.
Yeah, facts. I feel like oh, go ahead, son. I feel like, I mean, I have now, I grew up, well, you know, I stayed in Chicago for a little bit, but I basically grew up in a small town, kind of like a mid small town, Bloomington. But after I met my husband, I kind of like moved to Michigan, then we moved to Texas, and then we moved back to Michigan. It's just like, so I understand what Nika's saying. When you move, you like see different things, be in different environments. So I feel that, because it was really nice to get out of the hometown that I grew up in to experience like new food, new places. So, yeah, I have.
As for me, Slim, I always wanted to see new things. Like, I grew up in the suburbs, and I always wanted to be in the city. Like, the fast-paced life, or just be around people, and just, like, the aura. I always wanted to explore. So, when I graduated high school, I went straight to Tennessee, far away from home. Like, I didn't care if I was I went with my friend, who later ended up getting killed in college. But I was so happy to just be away and just being on my own. I lived in Minnesota. I lived in Tennessee. Listen, I will pick up and leave at a drop of a dime and be okay.
I have never like moved to a different city or lived anywhere else. Like, I mean, I lived in the suburbs and went to school. I moved downtown Chicago for college. But I wasn't far from home, so I wouldn't say that I like up and uprooted myself or anything like that. But I definitely don't see myself living in Chicago long term, so I'm definitely going to uproot at some point. I just don't know when. It'll have to be after I finish school. But yeah, maybe I'll do like what Nika said and do like a summer externship or something in a different city. But yeah, that's definitely something I want to do, so I'm going to try to make that happen before 30. That's on my list.
I say go for it, you know. Some of the best experiences I've had have been living in different cities. Like, I love D.C. I found that it fits my personality perfectly.
You know? What exactly is your personality?
Asshole. And the East Coast got my heart.
No, the assholes seriously. Live on the East Coast.
Oh, the assholes live on the East Coast. They a different type of asshole though. Like, there's not like, I mean, LA's assholes too, but they're that's different. East Coast is just people like on they grind. Like the city moves. Like, one thing I used to always say is like, when you are in DC and in the city and are working, like I was in law school, it's so much government workers and so many attorneys and just so many businessmen. You feel important just being in that space. And it's a different level. It's like moving through a big city like that. It's maybe it's because it was so different from what I grew up. Cause I grew up in like a small town where like we got a Walmart, and it was like, we got a Walmart. Like, it was like a tiny town. And so like when I went to DC, just like moving in that space, it just felt right for me. You know, it felt like it was my personality. Like I thrived in that city. I love that city. Shoot, I ain't gonna move back, but I might, you know, if I got a job out there, I wouldn't hesitate.
Is that Virginia?
DC is DC.
What state is that in?
It's not in the state. Girl, DC is
what,
DC.
What?
DC is not in a state. Washington DC is a like it's a city. It's just a tear. It's like just a city. It's not a state. It's a district. Yeah, the District of Columbia. That's what DC stands for. But it operates under federal law. It's not a part of any state.
So
you baffled.
I can just fly to DC right now.
It's on the what?
Yes, it's on the
you
map.
Can fly. You can fly to any state, right?
I'm just saying. I don't point me out DC on one of the states because
it's in between like Maryland, Virginia, like the DMV area is just like right there.
So Virginia, like you said, between okay,
but cool. It's not in Virginia. It's not in a state. Like just imagine, if somebody stuck a city between I don't know Texas and Oklahoma that isn't a part of Texas or a part of Oklahoma. It's just on its own.
I get it.
Yeah,
I always thought it was in Virginia, like for real.
No,
DC. We see who wasn't
paying attention,
very good in geometry. I mean, geography. Yeah. The next one, y'all, is to start saving.
Is the what?
Start saving.
Yeah, I did that too.
Oh, saving.
Yeah. You know, all my savings about to go to this house I'm about to buy. Trust me, I'm not happy about it. But I'm going to get it back.
I always was a good saver. But now, yeah, of course.
I definitely have my 401k like an adult. You know, my 401k is doing pretty well for my age.
Yeah.
Girl, you doing pretty well for your age.
Yeah, I think this is a major key. This is definitely have to happen before 30. Like, preferably earlier 20s, you know, whenever you get that first full-time job, if you go to college or if you don't, but you got that good job, you need to have a savings account. Like, major key, imperative.
Yeah, and we gonna just throw this out there. Saving is a luxury, and we don't act like it is. We act like it's a given, but there are people who live paycheck to paycheck who, you know, you get your check and a day later your check didn't been used up because you have bills. And we understand that saving may not be something that's feasible for everybody. But even if you put a quarter aside, you know what I'm saying? Like that in 4 days, that'll be a dollar. And you can just keep doing it like that, because ultimately anything that you put aside for yourself is going to be a good investment. And I tell anybody that listens, I pay my big bills. So my rent, my car, things I need to, like, you know, my water, things that are essential. And then I pay myself. Those are the first two things that get paid, because at the end of the day, you know, it is important to have any type of backup that you can have in case something happens. So, you know, if you can put away a penny, put away a penny.
Yeah. And I think to the best of our ability, we have to live below our means. I think that's the major key, because I wasn't making a lot of money when I started my savings account at all. I don't even want to tell you how much I was making because I'm embarrassed. But but I wasn't making a lot, but I was living below my means, and I was trying to make sure to the best of my ability that my bills didn't go above what I was making. So I think that for me, I think my thing is going to always be to try to live on, and I've talked about this in the marriage episode, but trying to live on 50% of my income, like, is really key for me and has helped me to be able to save a lot. But that's why I was talking about it in the marriage episode. Like, when you have two incomes, if you live like you're on, like you only have one, then you set yourself up to be able to save so much. But yeah, so that's kind of what I do now. I just do it on one income, but I try to live like I'm making half of what I actually make.
Yeah. And that's a good strategy. And I also think it's important to not only live below your means, but when your salary increases, don't increase your expenses. So, like, a lot of people will go out, you know, you get a bump in salary. Let's say you making, you know, maybe 10 grand more than you were making before. And then they go out and buy that car that they wanted. And it's like, so now that you created an expense that essentially ate, you know, that increase in pay that you got. So I think that's another important aspect. So not only live below your means, but make sure that while you're gaining and growing, that you're not unnecessarily increasing your expenses. Because I will drive my 2015 Chevy Malibu to the wheels fall off. Okay. You know, everybody's okay, like, why don't you go get a better car? Da, 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 da. Like, you no. My 2015 gets me, it's cute, and it gets me from A to B. I'm not about to go and get a $600 car note or a $1,000 car note when my 272 car note is just fine for me. Whether or not I can afford it is irrelevant, because I'm not going to unnecessarily increase my expenses.
Right. I just went and got my little Chevy service today. I said, look, we're gonna get you all the service you need, because I'm not upgrading until I absolutely have to.
But the Malibus are the cutest cars. Like, the body structure is just so cute. And it's affordable.
And mine is black, so I feel like, you know, I can roll up in my Chevy Malibu to my firm and not feel like I'm in a hoopty next to all of these damn Lexuses and Mercedes and Audis and fucking Teslas and Maseratis and stuff everybody else drive. And I just come in on my Chevy Malibu that's nice and shiny.
Right. Nice and shiny. I keep it detailed. Like,
it's cute, you know.
As long as you're coming in knowing your stuff, it don't matter what car you drive. Period.
Exactly. Don't keep up with the Joneses, because the Joneses are struggling.
Nigga, college.
Major key, dropping gems. Okay, y'all. The next one is take the risk and try the adventurous sport that you always wanted to do.
So yeah. Like
bungee jumping, yes! Skydiving. What's y'all adventurous sport?
Okay. Well, there are two things for me. I'm talking a lot. Sorry, y'all. Let me know if y'all want me to talk less on Twitter. BMW Podcast.
Okay, thank you. Oh, are you on Twitter?
Okay, there are two things that I've done. One, okay, so I'm afraid of heights that you can fall out of. So I've always been a person who likes like roller coasters because I'm strapped in. But there's always this ride. It's not really a ride. At Great America or Six Flags or whatever you want to call it. That's that bungee thing where you're strapped and you fly. Like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like a bungee drop. So they like put you in this harness and they pull you in the air and you like bungee shoot and fly.
Yeah, I did that one.
Oh my God, that was amazing. And I was like freaking out the entire time because you're floating in the air in this bungee cord. But that was so much fun. And it made me feel like, oh my goodness, like that was like the epitome of my fear. And I did it. That, and now I joined boxing. And right now I'm at a gym that's non-contact just until I like get my form down and everything. And then I'm going to join the contact gym. I'm going to be throwing them hands.
Okay, girl. No, I haven't did any adventure stuff, but I do want to go scuba diving. Like, that's one thing that I really want to do. I have not done it yet, but I really want to go scuba diving. And I want somebody to take pictures of me when I'm under the water.
We'll put that on our girls' trip list, because that's something I want to do, too. I want to scuba dive.
Mm-hmm.
My friend who took the solo trip, she also got certified in scuba diving. So I thought that was pretty cool, but that's it.
What is it called when you, like, in the water and you, like, standing up? I don't know the term, but Kyla, we saw it when we went downtown on the boat. And that guy was, like...
Oh, you mean on that, it's not a paddleboard.
Sometimes it can be, though.
You're talking about, like, kayaking, where you standing on that board and you have the paddle? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it was a man who had, like, the water jet, the jet pack.
Oh,
like he was literally in the air.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I want to do that. Also, I want to, like, bungee jump, but I also want to be, like, a bomb skater, like a roller skater. Like, I don't know if that's adventurous, but that's just, like, a new thing that I want to do. And I want to be good at it, too.
I also want to swim with sharks. Like, I want to be in that cage, and them sharks. I want to do that.
Ooh, child.
Oh,
okay.
Hell no.
I want to do it.
You
I
lost
feel like
me.
It looks so fun. You in a cage.
No. But have you saw the movie, like, 40 Feet Under?
It's a movie.
They have this place.
Events that will probably happen.
They have this place in Australia that I saw on Married at First Sight. Australia. It was this place that you can go and your hotel room, like the out, you could see outside, so it was kind of glass, and they had tigers. So you was like, you was sleeping next to like tigers, and you can like literally go to your wall and just like put your hand and just like, I was like, I said, it looks cool, but like, I don't know if I could do it, but
or that underwater hotel. Have y'all seen that? That underwater hotel.
And
to me, I don't know what type of glass they using, but it looked like it's so like I would want like a honeymoon there or like a couple's trip. Like I think that'd be so romantic, just be deep under the water and you just this view of fish and shit just swimming on by.
I'd be freaked out. Like
no,
that would be so romantic.
Kai, like, keep me away from the water. I don't want shit to do with water or animals.
Period.
Start playing pleasure.
I'm very adventurous. I go bungee jumping, skydiving, all that other stuff. You talk about putting me underwater. Like, what if the bow break? Like, that's all I'm
thinking.
See,
and
about.
You over here trying to bungee jump my big butt, being to snap that damn cord. Did y'all see that episode? I think it was The Biggest Loser. It was either like the biggest loser or like a some type of makeover show. And she had worked so hard because she went to bungee jump. You know, there's a weight limit. And she worked so hard to get under that weight limit and the damn cord snapped anyway.
Nah. Get out of here.
Yes. And then every time I think about bungee jumping, I'll be like, Hillary, will you
wait.
And I can't do it.
Oh my god. Facts. Wait a minute. Wait. So was she okay?
The woman in the biggest loser? Yeah, she lived because she it wasn't like a super, super high bridge, but it's like that type of shit I be looking at and it's just like, damn, like that court, like y'all really had trust in that little bitty ass court. I don't got that much trust. I got faith in Jesus, not in no damn bungee cord. And then
wait,
y'all
so
be
she had to be over 300 pounds or something?
No, she was under the weight limit. So I don't know what the weight limit was, but she had worked her ass off to get under the weight limit. And she was under the weight limit by like real narrow margins. It was like maybe like 5 pounds. I feel like they need to adjust their weight limit. She got under the weight limit and she jumped and the shit snapped. And she like hit the thing. I think she like broke some bones and shit, but she ended up living, thank God. But I don't fuck with the bungee jumping. And I also don't mess with jumping out of planes because you got to trust that they packed your plane. You got to trust that you or the person you jumping with pulled the ripcord at the right time. And then when you land, you got to like be moving your feet as you land so you don't crash and break your whole leg. It's too many variables in them two things for me.
Well, I want to jump out of the plane. I forgot to say that. I
want to
do that.
I'm definitely skydiving. Bungee jumping is still like a probably not, but I'm definitely gonna go skydiving. But yeah, I'm gonna make sure I'm way below the weight limit before I do some shit like that. That's terrible. Okay, so getting rid of bad habits. Do y'all got any bad habits that you don't want to carry into your 30s?
Yes, ma'am. Procrastination. It eats me alive.
Yes, procrastination.
I think that leads to so many other things. But I think if I got rid of procrastination, then I could be in a lot of different areas. I'll be better.
I think that I want to get rid of self-isolation. I kind of keep myself to myself and then complain about not having friends. And it's because I don't really put myself out there. And it really is because I'm very okay with my own company. And I do have a lot of family that I'm really close with. But I also have a lot of really close friends. They just don't live where I live. But I have friends all over the country that I've made in college or in law school or what have you. And we're very close and we talk all the time. And because of that, I don't really go and try to get friends in my current... Mute yourself, please. I don't try to go and get friends in my current city because I have these friends. But then I like really do. I have a friend here and some people that I'm getting more close with. But I think I isolate myself from people. And so it makes it hard to kind of foster and grow those relationships. And I think that going into my 30s, like I want to be able to be like, hey, girl, let's go get drinks. And not just with the one person that I have here or my sister. So I think that's the main bad habit that I'm trying to cut and just really work on growing my friendships.
Yeah, that would be my second one. That was a good one.
Okay, get involved in the fitness regime.
Stick to a fitness regime.
Right.
We got to revise this one. Yeah, we got to revise this one because I have one. Do I do it every time I'm supposed to? No, but I have it. I'm supposed to go to boxing 3 times a week and then weightlift 2 other days. I maybe will make 2 or 3 of them days. You know, I'm trying to give myself grace. I ain't paying that much, but it's really physically challenging, which is one of the reasons. So it's something that you really have to mentally psych yourself up for because it is very physically draining, and it's more so physically draining than any other type of workout that I've ever done. And I think that I saw this TikTok where it's a girl and she does she lifts and she's really into like lifting to the point where she like has cutting and she does like bulking, you know, she's a lifter. And she was talking, somebody asked her like, how do you find the motivation to go to the gym? You know, she goes, I think she does 5 days a week lifting, 1 day a week cardio, which is her like active rest day, and then she has 1 complete rest day. And she goes, I don't have motivation to go to the gym. I just fucking go. Like, I don't want to go every day. I don't want to go all the time. You know, I have to psych myself up mentally, but at the end of the day, once I'm in that workout, I'm enjoying it. So I just go. And I think that's one of the keys to maintaining a fitness workout is I feel like I have to be in the mood. I don't have to be in the mood because once I get there, I'm going to be in it. I'm going to put my all in it. But, you know, I need to stop trying to work myself up to go and just go.
Yeah, that's a word. When I had my personal training at the gym, it was like I never felt like going. Never. But when I was there, I was glad that I went. You know, when I was doing it or when I was done with it, I was happy about it. But like convincing myself, because I used to go after work too, because it's on my way home, I got to pass the gym. So I'm like, you might as well stop. You got to pass it anyway. So it was just like, I don't feel like going. But once I was there, everything was good. So I think that's the major key. You're not going to always feel like it. You just got to do it anyway. But since COVID, I've been scared to go back to the gym, just my own little personal thing. So I need to get over it so I can develop some type of regimen.
See, I like at-home workouts. I feel like that fits me better because I don't like going to the gym working out in front of people. So I do really good at home because I'm in my personal space. And if I'm looking crazy, I'm looking crazy. And if I want to cry, I want to cry. So I'm at home. So I love at-home workouts. I'll do better.
I can picture Tia working out and crying at the same time. I feel like that's on brand. Yes.
That's her personality.
Just dramatic.
Greg that's probably be over here like, girl, you better get up.
Man, when I be like, Tia, are you crying? Why are you crying?
I never used to work out. I was never the one to work out. So when I started working out at home, like a couple months ago, I worked out for like almost 2 or 3 months straight. It was hard. Like my body, I was crying, but I like pushed through it though. Working hard out is hard.
But I feel like when I work out and I haven't worked out for a while, I feel like the fact that my body feels how it feels when I work out makes me want to keep working out because I feel like I shouldn't, like it shouldn't be this painful. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like I, like when my body is struggling to do certain things or to move in certain ways, or I'm realizing that I'm not as agile as I once was, or I'm doing squats and it's just popping and shit. I just feel like, you know, I'm 28. I don't want my body to feel so rickety. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of makes me more consistent in my workouts because I feel like my body should just be a lot more fluid than it is. And it's not because I neglect myself in that way a lot. And so, you know, for me, that pain is like important. It motivates me to keep going because in 2, 3, 4 weeks time, my body is moving in ways and a lot easier than it was before.
That's that. Yes, Nika. Yes, that pain. And that's how you know you working out. Like, and it's like whatever you're doing, it's working. But a lot of people, when they feel that pain, they stop working out because they don't want to feel it. But y'all have to keep going. Y'all got to push through that because it gets better. Like Nika said, around 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to be feeling good.
So learn a foreign language.
Yes, of course. Everybody took one in high school, right?
Hola. Me
llamo German, speak French. The language that you learned in high school.
Yo puedo hablo Spanish, español más o menos.
German.
Cuando yo voy a México.
No, I kind of.
Bonjour. Bonjour. Bonjour.
I've actually been trying to learn. So I like did so much Spanish growing up. Just by nature of that's the kind of the only foreign language my school offered. And then my best friend growing up was Dominican, or one of my best friends growing up was Dominican. So her family all spoke Spanish. And so I learned a lot and I studied a little bit in college. So my Spanish is actually pretty decent. I can understand it a lot better than I can speak it. Like when I would, and then I find myself, oddly enough, when I'm, for one, I used to watch telenovelas to help my Spanish. And I found that the best way to learn any language is just to immerse yourself in it. Because I'm pretty good with the vocabulary of Spanish, but like the conjugations and all that kind of trash. So when I want to really work on it, I just kind of watch telenovelas. When I went to Mexico, I would find myself like responding in Spanish because they would naturally speak English to you. But if you responded in Spanish, they would speak Spanish back to you. And they would know that you don't know Spanish, you know, fluently, because it was clear by how you spoke it. But it just meant I could see the difference. And, you know, I just feel like there's a respect level of going to someone else's country and speaking, you know, they have a national language, whereas we don't in America. So if I'm going to go to Mexico, I'm not going to force you to speak English. You know, I'm going to speak whatever language you're comfortable with if I can communicate with you that way.
Yeah, I'm pretty decent at Spanish, and also because I took it in high school, first and second Spanish. But I also know a good amount of sign language too. I'm pretty good at sign language to a point like if a deaf person comes up to me and starts signing, I'll probably be able to understand them a little bit.
That's what's up. ASL is one of the languages I wanted to learn too.
Yes, I advise everybody to learn ASL for real. I got a big book too. And of course, I was interested at first, Switched at Birth.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show.
And but then my daughter also, I had to teach her sign language because she has speech problems. So that's how I honestly started to get into it. What about y'all?
My mama was, she studied speech therapy in college. So I remember when she was going to college, she used to teach us what she was learning. So I used to know it, but it was so long ago, I don't know anything anymore. I can do the alphabet and that's about it. So if you go letter by letter with me, I can put together what you're saying. But that's a long process.
I used to be really good at sign language. I used to pay attention when she used to teach us. And I used to enjoy it too. But as far as like a foreign language, I would like to be fluent in Spanish. I was just thinking about this stuff, actually. That's crazy. I would like to be fluent in Spanish. I have a girl who I went to school with. She's fluent in French. She actually went to France. And like, whenever she posts in French. And she's African-American. And I just think that is the coolest thing. Like, girl, yes.
Splurge on something expensive that you always desired.
I haven't done this yet. And I'm going to. But I'm cheap. But I'm going to. I'm about to buy my bag. Period.
It say buy your Gucci bag or your Rolex.
Yes, I want to buy my YSL bag. Or no, not my YSL, but my Chanel bag or my Prada bag. I'm going to buy it. Once I close on this house, I'm going to buy it. I'm buying a house. Does that count?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, but that's not like to me, that's like, this is going to sound crazy, but that's not to me like a luxury item. Those are like, to me, there are certain things that I'm okay with spending money on, like a house, you know, stuff for other people, like trips. Those are things to me hard for me to spend money on, but like a bag or shoes or like a fancy car, like material things, I have such a hard time spending money on it. And I'm trying to teach myself, like, girl, you can't take your money when you die. You have your savings. Like, it's okay to buy the material things. The world isn't going to combust because you bought a Prada bag. It's not. You're not going to go, you know, from being okay to being, you know, on the street because you bought a Prada bag. It's not going to happen. But that's my anxiety, you know, making everything worst case.
I don't feel like there's nothing that I really want to splurge on that I'm desiring. I feel like the only thing that I probably could think of is like that new MacBook Air that I really want.
That's because your husband, I want to be a photographer. And he go buy you a full ass photography kit. I want to be a baker. And he go and buy your whole ass baking kit. So, of course, there's nothing that you want.
He can do it. He got a brother. So I
want to
stay at home,
mom. He the only child.
Oh, damn.
He over here dying because you know it's true.
Her face when she said it, though. Oh, that was so funny. What about y'all?
I'm frugal. Like,
as hell.
Everything is like price for me. Like everything. I'd be like, a Gucci bag. What? I could just go buy one at Carson's or Kohl's or something.
A purse is a purse. It's all gonna be dirty.
Right. It all holds the same thing. I don't know. Like for me, it ain't that deep. But I will, if it's something that I really want, I will probably sit on it for a while. And if I still want it after a while, I would buy it. But I don't like really buy a lot of big purchases or anything like that. I think the one thing that I'll definitely splurge on is going to be my house. Like when I buy it, like that's what I'm saving up for now. So I feel like that's going to be it.
Just wait till you start making that lawyer money. You'll find a way to spend it.
Right. When I start making a little money, I might be a little less frugal.
She going to get on this podcast and
we
be like,
we going to retract to this episode. My Louis Vuitton.
Girl, I just bought these Jimmy Choo's.
I can't picture her doing that.
I don't see it, but we'll see.
No, I'm talking shit.
As for me, I don't really, I mean, of course, I see stuff that I like and I'd be like, oh, if I had money, I'd get that bag or I'd get some shoes. But as of right now, today, I want my Sony camera, my and a MacBook. Those are the two things that I want. Oh, and some roller skates.
Skating. What video you What video did you see online?
Listen, like, I realized, I was thinking, like, what do I like to do? Like, I don't know what I like to do anymore. And I had to start thinking, what did I used to like as a kid, like a teenager growing up? Anything that involves me being athletic, I kind of don't go to because I'm not the same no more. And I'd be like, I'm not doing that. What else did I like? And I realized I really love skating, but I just never tapped into it. So I watch skating videos every day. And I always, when I go to skating rink, I love people who be like skating backwards and they be slow skating and they just be snapping. I'd be like, yeah, I want to be that person. So yeah, I want me a pair of roller skates. I saw it was like $300-$400. That's it. I'm a simple girl.
Yeah, that's not bad. Okay, so the next one is date somebody that's not your type.
Did it, hated it.
No nigga I date is my type because none of their ass is ready to be married. So, you know.
Yes.
I be trying to give everybody a chance. They all trash. My type is trash.
It's like, I don't want to date.
I guess I don't date people that's not my type.
Cause like, what if I end up liking them for real? And then I gotta live the fact that he 5'8". I mean, that he 5'2". Like,
I'm like, 5'8" is not bad. You being dramatic.
5'8" is fellas. If you 5'8", love.
Honestly,
yourself.
But she got a whole lot of requirements.
No, I don't.
For nothing, don't. And they all superficial.
No, they're not. The only trait is height. The rest is all character traits. So,
look,
most of the dudes I've dated have been ugly.
That's true.
Cause that girl. And I say ugly because of their personality. But
that too.
But you know, I just like tall men, like 6'4" and up. Cause I'm tall. And
is she a lie? She's gonna lie on this here internet.
Okay, I'm 5'3". But
and all he talk about, she want a 7'5" man. Girl, you better take that 5'4" man nigga and keep it pushing. He tall to you.
I can't do nothing in the fives. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work out. But I want to try it. Like, I want to actually give somebody a chance who's shorter.
Nah, for all the shit that I'm talking, Slim, I tried to date a dude that was 5'4". I'm 5'4", and it no.
Girl, he couldn't even sweep you off your feet.
I felt like, oh no. He walked up to me and my first thought was, is this what I look like to people? My first thought when his ass walked up to me, I look this little.
But did he have an insecurity?
No, he didn't. Well, he did. Like, you could tell he did because he made a comment like, you know, I'm only 5'4", just so you know, like women tend to like. You know, I don't think it was an insecurity for him, but it was something that he was aware was a factor to women. And I was like, oh, no, you're good. His ass walked up, and then he tried to cuddle and curl into this little ball, and he looked like he was about 6.
Like, oh, my God.
And I was like, you know what? I'm superficial. You need to be at least 5'7".
That's still short. Like,
it is short, but 5'7" to me is a short that I can do. I just, because before I had never encountered any man that was my height. So I never had to think about whether height mattered. Because if you was 5'7", you were taller than me significantly. Like, I'm 5'4". So you 5'7", 5'8", 5'9", you taller than me. Like, and it didn't bother me. So I had never really thought about height being a factor because I'm so short. And then I met somebody short. And then what also skews your perspective is if you date somebody tall. So I also was talking to somebody who was like 6'7", 6'6", and that nigga was tall. And every man after that, like, he could be 6'1". And I'd be like, what are you, like 5'6"? Like, everybody.
All right. Yeah. Definitely. No, but It's like we both need help reaching for the cereal at the top. Like, babe, come grab this.
He said, bad bitches is the only thing that I like.
Right. You so he got no a type because he was contradicting
his right, bad bitch is a type. What you mean?
Exactly.
Okay.
Wait, I'm
fine. So if a actually, dude that was 5'5 walked up to you,
that's a lie. I've dated a short. My first boyfriend was my height.
We didn't move on to Kai.
Right. We're all
I'm right asking now. Kai a question, and you interrupted my question to talk about
all
your.
Of you.
So, would you date a 5'4 man?
No.
So you got a type. Not short is your type.
Not shorter than me. I'm 5'5.
Okay, would you date a 5'5 man?
She's lying. She would not.
She's realizing she has a type, people. Or she has disqualified.
I got a type, but I don't know. So, but my type isn't tall.
It's just not short.
To be honest, I never dated nobody under 6 feet.
Oh, the luck.
Who all have you dated?
Stop trying to put her on blast.
Well, I was just trying to give the listeners a little something.
They ain't gonna know him.
But, right. But not like super tall, though. Like, I ain't dated nobody who was like 6'4 or nothing like that. But 6 feet, 6'1, 6'2.
Her and husband is going to be like 6'3, 6'4. Watch. Mark my words.
I'm
gonna
really be like interested to see who Kai's husband is going to be.
I feel like
you be both.
You have what?
I have the type of man he is in my head, and I know.
Like, I just feel like any guy that Kai marries is going to be a good dude.
Yes.
Like, I feel like the guy that I marry is just going to be a dude. He's going to be straight. he gonna be all right, you know. I feel like I want a really good dude, but I'm going to settle. I already know it.
Oh, my God. Never settle, ladies.
I'm damn near 30. I'm trying to have a baby. Look, this nigga on the street. That's why I might be like you. You good. Come on over. You know, but I feel like Kai got the mental fortitude, and she hasn't entered her baby fever phase yet. So, you know, what she has to look forward to at about 28, you starting to feel like you can feel your ovaries dying with every period. I don't know what it is about 29. I don't know what it is about 29, but them cramps get a little bit heavier and hurt a little bit more than they ever did before because, you know, you're withering. And so,
Jesus Christ.
So I feel like she ain't hit that point in her life yet. So I feel like whatever man Kai marries is going to just be a good dude.
I think it's not going to take very many tries. Probably one and done on some love at first sight shit. Just because I think you are what you attract. And
yes.
And I think she's just going to attract, because, you know, she's a decent human being. She gets on my damn nerves because that's my sister. But she's a decent human being. So it's not going to take her long, because her like, discernment is what her life discernment said. Is one hell of a thing. She'd be like, nope. Mm-mm. Nope. Red flag. I'm gone. Mm-mm. I know my worth. Nope.
Right. Just, what life? What did life say? Don't be a nickel out here looking for a dime.
What you did Lauren say? Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gym, baby girl.
Okay. Respect is just the minimum.
Lauren? For real. And I think that's
free
what...
Free game.
I'm talking shit low-key because I feel like when I feel like for a while, my bar, like my minimum was like barely respect. My minimum was just like not disrespectful. You didn't have to be respectful. You just couldn't be disrespectful. And so now that I'm older, I feel like my bar is going back up. Because I'm like, if I put the bar damn near 6 feet under for y'all niggas and you still couldn't get over it, I might as well put it back up where it belongs.
But I honestly think that people date depending on their self-esteem at that time. And they probably didn't realize it. But that's just what I
Think it's necessarily self-esteem.
I think it just depends. For me, it was honestly, I had come off of, like, I had been in the same relationship from 18 to 24. I had never dated anybody else. So for me, I didn't want a relationship for a long time. Like, literally until I was maybe 27. I didn't want a relationship at all. And even at 27, I was still kind of like, So between 24 and 27, I was dating men that I was extremely compatible with personality-wise, pretty much on every facet, but we both didn't want a relationship. So then once I started to be ready for a relationship, it was harder to sort of break the pattern because I could be in these sort of pseudo relationships and get everything I needed as far as companionship goes. So for me personally, I don't think the men that I dated was a reflection of my self-esteem because I really liked the men I dated. To this day, I still like the men I dated. But, you know, I was just ready for something. I was just wasn't ready for what I'm ready for now. So now that I'm ready, It's about breaking the habits that I created when I was just dating. You know what I'm saying? Now it's about building relationship habits. And so now I'm encountering men who kind of fit with my dating habits, if that makes sense. When I don't need them no more. Y'all can go away now. You can leave.
Yeah, this episode has got a little longer than what I thought. So I think we're going to have to come back and do the rest if they want us to. So y'all going to have to let us know, hit us up and let us know if y'all want us to continue the rest of the list.
All right. If anyone else has any questions, comments, or would like some advice, especially if you would like some advice, because we're looking to add an advice section to our episodes, hit our Gmail at 4bmwpodcast@gmail.com. That is the number 4bmwpodcast.com.
Don't forget to rate, like, and subscribe.
Follow us on all social media platforms at BMW Podcast.
Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week.